The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
If I was a fan, this is a game I'd watch. That's how you promote a game. Mike McCarthy said that. Dallas, Kansas City, Sunday. And also, when you open up a team store with your new nickname, and the first thing that happens is your sign falls down, the Guardians guard Cleveland, but who guards the Guardians? Let's go!
If I was a fan, I'd watch a movie trailer. UCLA, don't I? Right?
Dangerous.
Oh, that Thursday was very Thursday, my friends.
Thursday night football. Patriots 25, Falcons squadoosh. Mac Jones 22 of 26 in win number 5 in a row for New England. Bill Plaschke, I'm going to ask you what you're doing with this very Thursday result, but I also want you to embody Bill Belichick here. A man on a 5-game winning streak with a rookie quarterback. Go ahead.
I'm having flashbacks. That's what I'm doing with this, Tony. I'm going back to when I covered the 2002 Super Bowl. Not that it's a Super Bowl team yet, but this is the same kind of offense, the same kind of look, a punishing defense. In the last 19 possessions, they haven't allowed a point. They've outscored opponents 125 points in the last 5 games. And then they have a quarterback who hits those short passes, has a lot of time to throw. Back-to-back 80% completion rate for Jones. That's the best ever for a rookie quarterback. I mean, this looks like a Belichick team at the start of the Brady era. I'm just saying, it looks like it.
You're not just saying. You're saying it. Don't put the just in there. You're saying it. Emily Kaplan, are you there with Plaschke after a win over the Atlanta Falcons on a Thursday night game?
It's still the NFL.
I'm also there, yeah, because it has all of the ingredients, right? Like you said, the great defense, the good run game, a quarterback who's not being asked to sling it like Brady wasn't early in his career, just be effective. And Mac Jones, outside of that one bad throw, which was an interception, has been very effective lately, 41 of last 49 passes he's completed. The thing about the Patriots is what makes them exciting isn't exciting at all. It's their offensive and defensive lines that are wrecking people. They don't have one offensive true threat. They're minimizing that by spreading it around. But I like where they're at right now. I'm not going to say it's a dynasty because they got to win games first. But where they're at right now with a couple days to prepare for this really tough stretch coming up to tell, let us know if they're AFC contenders or not, because they've got the Titans, Bills, Colts, then Bills
again.
We'll know who the Patriots are.
I love what you guys are doing. You're so flexible. All that yoga. You walk us all the way to the line. Oh, this is Brady and Belichick part two. Oh, I'm not saying this is a dynasty, but Israel Gutierrez, after a Thursday night game over Atlanta and this 5-game winning streak, what are you seeing with Belichick and Jones?
Well, there have been actually some pretty good Thursday night games this year. This was not one of them because of Bill Belichick. And, I mean, look, Matthew Judon, getting him from Baltimore has been amazing, and he has, you know, pressured the quarterback so well. There needs to be, I think, an around-the-horn investigation as to why Kyle Van Noy was not still a Dolphin, because them letting him go back to the Patriots seems like a giant mystery here. And it's exactly what Bill Belichick wants. Not only that defense that he can scheme with talented athletic players, but when you look at Mac Jones, it's short, quick passes. It's things that the defense is giving you, things that the coaches always tell your quarterback, take essentially what the defense is giving you, and he's doing that, and he's winning that way. The only pass I believe he threw over 20 yards in the air got intercepted yesterday. Yeah. So it's not like he's, you know, the greatest show in New England. It's just doing exactly what your coach wants you to do. And so that formula tells me that
job.
Bill Belichick has control of this team. He's doing exactly what they want to do. And so I wouldn't put it past them to put it at the Super Bowl yet, but I'd like to see this next stretch of games first, because they've got their tough next 4 or 5 games are pretty tough.
And Monica McNutt.
All right, Tony, I'll do it. I'll lean in. Bill Belichick is back, led by Mac Jones. I will say that I think in the conversation that we've had over Belichick versus Brady, Brady gets to get on the field instantly, where Belichick needs a chance to groom his guys. I keep saying in the conversation of the Patriots, do we forget that they had a league high of 8 opt-outs last year, which drastically changed the complexion of that squad? I'm not saying that Cam would have been terrific had those guys not opted out, but that was a huge piece of what they did. So you get your guys back, you get a quarterback that's getting the ball out in 2.3 seconds and trusting the system and doing exactly what he's supposed to do. The Belichick train looks to be back, baby.
Flash, keep back in.
They even have their version of Adam Vinatieri. Nick Folk can't miss. I'm telling you, this team looks, you take away the names, you look at the uniforms, the way they play, they look like those early Patriots.
Those early Patriots.
The eyeball
team. All right, good. So everybody, all on this Patriots team, after a Thursday night game against Atlanta, I got you. I mean, I'm picking up what you're putting down.
You're 5 in a row.
If right, the 5 in a row. Lead with that then, Emily.
It's the
like,
NFL.
This is a season right now where nobody can string wins together. I mean, Tennessee's got the longest win streak, and then it's the Patriots right after them. And then there's not a team in the NFC even on a 2-game winning streak. We're going to talk about one that's on a 1-game winning streak but playing well. Dallas Cowboys next up versus Kansas City. If I was a fan, I'd watch this game, Mike McCarthy said. That's how you promote one. Mahomes, the bounce-back game last week from when the league deciphered his oeuvre. And the Cowboys put it all together last week against the Atlanta Falcons. Israel, who would you rather be Sunday, Kansas City or Dallas? And then I'll throw another one in here. In this matchup, who would you rather be, Patrick Mahomes or Dak Prescott?
I'd rather be Patrick Mahomes, and I'd rather be the Kansas City Chiefs. And this is something I was going to say for the end, but honestly, this is something that I feel like is prominent in the beginning and should be talked about, is this is the first time he's getting to play against the team that he grew up cheering for, the Dallas Cowboys. That's a huge deal for Patrick Mahomes, it feels like, the way he talks about Dallas, the way he talked about, you know, growing up a fan there, and you want to put it on them. And he has been great the last couple of games, especially in the play action. And I think not only is that going to help him against this defense, but Dallas is second to last in the league, giving up yards after the catch. If he can get the ball into his playmaker's hands and let them go from there, which he's been doing a little bit more lately, I think it's going to be a pretty high-scoring game for the Chiefs. So I wouldn't put past, you know, a high-scoring game altogether, but I've got the Chiefs.
All right, a little stat upkeep here. Of course, Mahomes had an incredible game last time out, but you've said a couple of good games. 2 games ago was statistically the worst of his career. Monty McNutt, I'll bring you in here.
All right, so I'd rather have Dak, but I'd rather be Kansas City. Now, let me explain. I don't think that the Cowboys can win in terms of the conversation around them. If they beat this Kansas City Chiefs team, they'll be down. If they win or if they lose, then they'll just be the typical Cowboys. But I do think when you look at the quarterback side by side, Dak has had a tremendous year. He's had 2 touchdowns in the past 6 games, which I believe is tied for the 4th longest streak within their franchise. And then on the flip side, though, I do think the game means more to the Kansas City Chiefs, but I'm just not sure that Patrick Mahomes won't fall into old habits in terms of pressing.
So here we go. There it is. Dak over Mahomes. McNutt says it. Kaplan, is she right?
No. I'm taking Pat Mahomes, and I like the Chiefs. One thing, too, to point out is that this is the first time a lot of guys on the Cowboys are going to be playing at Arrowhead. I would not discount that. But let's talk about what this game is going to be. Both of these teams combined for 850 total yards per game. It's going to be a shootout. If we're playing on the playground and I'm the captain, I'm taking Patrick Mahomes. And this league is all about peaking at the right time. The way the Chiefs and he played last week, 5 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, 406 yards, they could beat any team in the league like that. And Izzy was right. The one way they're going to exploit them is with their yards after catch, because the Cowboys are second to last in the league at that. And the Chiefs, they've got this guy named Tyreek Hill. They get a lot of yards after the catch.
But that was a problem for them 2-3 weeks ago. They solved it for 1 game against Las Vegas, Bill Plaschke. I want to get back to where Monica sent us, all right? She's taking Dak over Mahomes in this game and in general. Monica, please volunteer that information right now. Go ahead, Bill.
I'm taking Monica in this game, on this day. I'm with Monica. I'm so sick of people making excuses for Mahomes. Oh, Mahomes' receivers aren't doing a good job. He's not being protected. Let's face it, Dak's having a better year. He's a better quarterback right now, better quarterback rating, better completion percentage, half as many interceptions in 2 more games. He leads the league's best offense in yards, the league's best offense in scoring. Dak's just a better quarterback, and I'm so sick of everybody making excuses for Mahomes. He's not having a great year. He's not having a
best year.
Nobody
wants to make you sick over at Bill Plaschke.
Well, they are, but everybody.
Fire takes here.
Dak's a better quarterback. Dak is a better quarterback.
Bears back in.
I mean, Patrick is leading the league in total offense, right? So that's pretty good there. And just to be clear, Tony, what I was saying earlier is he's been really good the last 2 games in play action in particular.
I apologize. Okay, I apologize. All right, but remember, with every quarterback matchup, it's not Prescott versus Mahomes. It's Mahomes versus the Cowboys defense and Prescott versus Kansas City's defense. Monica, one thing that will decide this game and who you got.
I think it is the defense, and as much as it pains me to say this about a division rival, the Cowboys' defense has been legit this year. I do think that the Kansas City Chiefs figure out a way to get this
Are you
done.
In the NFC East? I had no idea. And how about you, Israel?
I know, right?
I think the Chiefs, if they can determine or get some kind of running game established, that will open up everything for Patrick Mahomes, so that's what I'm looking
Emily
at
Kaplan.
Early, the Chiefs' running attack.
For me, it's about the turnovers. Why Pat Mahomes did so well last week. 5 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, so no picks, and they win.
And Plaschke.
This is not the Kansas City Chiefs of old. This is a Dallas game. Trayvon Diggs, Micah Parsons, their defense will shut down. Tariq Hill hasn't been the same Tariq Hill. Kelce hadn't been the same Kelce. Mm-hmm. Dallas wins.
And Monica, just to be clear here, I know you moved in the last month or so. It says New York behind you, but you're rallying and riding for Washington no matter what you do, just so we're clear on that.
That's where my blood is.
Or you may have not seen, or maybe you have, or maybe you've seen the hashtag, where is Peng Shui? Former number one doubles player in the world, has not been seen or heard of since she came forward alleging that she was sexually assaulted by a Chinese government official. This is a Me Too accusation against a former vice premier in China. She courageously posted on social media an email said to be sent by Peng and distributed by the state-run broadcaster saying she's okay has been doubted by many who know her. A revolting severity we may find hard to understand in this country. But a reality we do know and that we have to acknowledge is this. Sexual assault survivors face stigma and resistance everywhere. So as we all open our hearts to finding Peng Shui, find space and strength for all survivors who have had parts of their lives silenced and taken away from them. We'll be back by ourselves.
Around the Horn is presented by Bullet Bourbon. Enjoy responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
We got a good one this weekend, maybe. Michigan State, Ohio State. This is delicious for this reason. The number 4 team versus the number 7 team, and it's a 19-point spread. Buckeyes favored by 19 over the Spartans? That's not even a game. Bill Plaschke, will this be a game? Buy or sell this 19-point spread?
Oh, Ohio State. Oh, great Ohio State. I'm so sick of people giving Ohio State the benefit of the doubt. They've had one big game this season against Oregon, and they lost that game. That's the only powerhouse team they played. Michigan State has the best rusher in the nation, Kenneth Walker III.
Hey.
They have Peyton Thorne, second best in touchdown passes in the Big Ten. Ohio State gave up 4 touchdown passes last week against Purdue. Michigan State definitely covers this game.
I think he's second best to C.J. Stroud, but the point stands. Now, you really are sick over a lot of things today, Plaschke. We've got to get you some ginger ale or something. So you think a 19-point spread and too much is beginning to Ohio State. Emily Catlin, how about you?
You know what Vegas doesn't take into account? Kryptonite. Michigan State has beaten Ohio State as a top 5 team 5 times
wow.
in their career. Also, Ohio State's big blowout win against Purdue still allowed 31 points, so I think Michigan can score on them. 19 points.
So you put a lot of stock into history here where, you know,
the
19 and 20-year-olds
playing
in the game. Does it really matter what happened years ago? All right.
3 wins since 2011.
Israel Gutierrez, how about you?
Them.
Well, it was recent history where Michigan State lost to that same Purdue team. So, you know, they have Ohio State, the best passing offense in the country.
Thank you.
Stroud, this might be a Heisman type of game for him because, you know, Bryce Young in Alabama might play Georgia's defense twice. So this is going to be potentially a Heisman moment for him. I think Ohio State covers.
Monica McNutt.
Well, talking about the big picture, I think Michigan State knows exactly what's on the line here. They have a chance if they get this win. I think their chances of making the CFP shoot up 58%. Yeah. I also think that they are a team that has the ability to rush the ball. Kenneth Walker leads major college with his rushing yards, which means they can control time of possession and keep Ohio State off of the field. Plus, they're willing to get creative on defense. I think this spread is way too high.
All right, so that's three spread-wise, Michigan State. Gutierrez thinks it's going to be a blowout, completely a blowout. Okay, Ohio State for you. We'll move on. Steph Curry outscored the Cavaliers by himself in the fourth quarter last night. Repeat, outscored the Cavaliers by himself. Israel, I don't ask this question lightly. Is it possible this is the best Stephen Curry yet?
I'm going to say yes, and here's why. Last season, he got a taste of playing without Klay Thompson, without Kevin Durant, and he had his high career high in field goal attempts and still shot 48%. And now he's gotten used to being the only guy out there, all eyes on him. And so if we get, you know, Klay Thompson back at any sort of high percentage of what he normally is and the defense has to look elsewhere, Steph Curry could average 35 points over a good stretch of time. Like, I think this might be the best we've seen, yeah.
Monica, we know about the MVP votes that he got and the MVPs that he won. And this is year 33 for Steph Curry. Could this be the best yet?
I think it is the best yet. I mean, he's the healthiest, I think, arguably, we've seen him over the course of his career. He's the strongest, and he's talked a lot about the opportunity that he and Draymond have to be super familiar with their system, but also to teach these young guys. And anybody that has to go back and school young people know that doing that reminds you of what is at the core. The way that the Warriors are executing their system, not just Steph, but those role guys really stepping in, being a year older and a year wiser, this Warriors team is dangerous, to say it lightly.
Two saying this is the best Steph Curry we've ever seen, and of course, I mean age 33. LeBron's in year 33. Bill Plaschke, go ahead.
Yeah, it's really hard following Monica when it comes to the NBA. It's really hard. I don't want to do that anymore, Tony. It's not fair. But anyway,
you're sick over this, Plaschke. You're sick.
Steph Curry is the best he's been because he's a great leader. They've lost two games, one in overtime. He's taken on the role of leadership. He's playing defense. He's the best I've ever seen him. But I don't want to follow Monica with the NBA stuff. Okay, thanks.
Emily Kaplan, how about you?
I'm glad that I had Bill as the buffer after
Monica. Okay.
Look, Steph has 9 3-point games since April, more 9 3-point games since April than any other NBA player has in history in their career. And you saw just how dominant he was in that Brooklyn game because you had Blake Griffin playing textbook defense against him. He was going, and then he all of a sudden lost his energy. And then you see Steph get that layup, and then Blake just like has to look like, what can I even do? That's how good Steph has been.
Buy or sell three, Connor McDavid versus the Winnipeg Jets last night. He went through the whole team. I mean, this was a great goal. It was like a goal he had against the Rangers earlier in the week. Shootout goal as well. He's got a 16-game point streak. Emily Kaplan, I'm going to ask you, I mean, we just asked about Steph. This is the best Connor McDavid we've ever seen, and how good is this run he's on right now?
It's pretty damn good. This is the first time I really feel like the NHL can convince to get a red zone channel because I would pay money to watch any time Connor McDavid has a shift or a power play. And I want to say it's not just McDavid. This is the best tandem we have seen with Leon Draisaitl since Jagr and Lemieux in the early 2000s. Both those guys were MVP finalists, and it's not unrealistic to think McDavid and Draisaitl will be MVP finalists this year.
And on this NHL red zone channel, who would be the host? Emily Kaplan, I think. Wow, let's go to Emily Kaplan.
Someone with some experience on a game show who can think on their feet.
There you go, Emily. It's Monica. You. You got the job. Yeah. Israel Gutierrez, now you have to follow up Kaplan on the NHL. Congratulations.
Thanks for that. I remember when... Remember when he was drafted reading a story that they called him McMiracle Worker? And it seems like that's what he's doing right now. Like, there's nothing better in sports, or one of the few things better in sports, when a prodigy sort of becomes what you believe he's going to be. And this right here, like, literally, like, sorry for the cross-border analogy, it's like LeBron James stuff going 1-on-4.
All right, I don't think you're that sorry for the NBA analogy. I think you purposely got to the sport you wanted to talk about. And Monica McNutt on Connor McDavid and hockey, please.
Listen, I will not try to keep up with Cap on the X's and O's, but what I will say is for a guy that is not known to be particularly emotive, you see the way he reacted on some of those goals that we had an opportunity to see. He's having a blast. And yes, there are some similarities to some NBA players I won't name because teams know what he's going to do and they still can't find a way.
You guys can't find a way to talk hockey without talking basketball.
That was good.
And he's very emotive when it's talking to the referees or the NHLPA or whatever it is. Go ahead, Bill Plaschke.
This is sort of a naive question, but Connor McDavid, can he ever be considered a great player unless he leads Edmonton past the second round? They haven't got past the second round, right? Is that right, Emily? They have not got past the second round in the playoffs.
Right.
He's great. He's fun to watch. Okay. But
he couldn't do that last night. I'm asking you, he couldn't exactly do that last night. Are these goals going to be there in the playoffs, Emily? That's my question that I just posed out there.
It's an existential question that my colleague John Tortorella wants to know, and I know that Connor McDavid.
Oh, there you go. See, it's a good question. Emily said so.
Kaplan, McNutt, showdown, 2 minutes.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Around the Horn is presented by Bullet Bourbon. Enjoy responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
The Cleveland Guardians went live today. Team store opened up, and the sign above the team store fell down. What type of sign is that, Monica?
It is a rebuilding sign, Tony.
Okay, and Emily, what type of sign is that?
It's a sign that the baseball gods don't love your rebrand.
Yes, it's a literal sign. Absolutely. Boyd Kaplan, let's go. Showdown, only one, and it's the NWSL Championship tomorrow in Louisville. Chicago Red Stars, Washington Spirit. I had a chance to interview a league owner this week. Roll tape.
So when they went on Saturday, I will blame ownership for sure for the incredible results.
Sarah is going to be out of her mind tomorrow for Chicago. But this is a fair and balanced preview. Ashley Sanchez is so bold for Washington. Trinity Rodman is an emerging force, and their defense very stout. So, Sarah's Red Stars with Mallory Pugh, we just learned, will be playing, or Washington Spirit. Who you got, Emily?
I got Chicago. Mal Pugh is a game breaker. Plus, they lead the league in interceptions, tackles, and red cards. Exactly what I would expect from a Sarah Spain-owned team.
Oh, I see what you did there. Monica McNutt?
At the risk of later being tortured by our good colleague Sarah Spain for picking my Washington Spirit, I think you got to look at Aubrey Bledsoe, who has been has had to deal with 17 targets on goal and denied 16 of them, and they've got the Rookie of the Year. I'm going with the Spirit.
Are you with Spain in spirit at least? How could you go and get unbelievable? Emily Kaplan, take the FaceTime. 30 seconds.
I wanted to give a shout out to Riley Tufte, a rookie from the Minnesota, from the Dallas Stars. He was playing in Minnesota last night. It was supposed to be a very big game for him. The kid's from Minnesota. He spent all of his call-up money on tickets for his friends and his family. He even had to borrow some. And then an hour before the game, his coach scratches him. Now, it's not the biggest deal in the world, but it's just a reminder that professional sports are a business, and even great careers are filled with some disappointment. So I'll be rooting for this kid the next time he's on the ice, whatever arena it's in.
Thanks for that, Emily Kaplan. All right, so Kaplan's with Spain. Monica's against Spain. Israel, Bill?
Monica,
you will the Red Stars win it, or you got the Spirit?
You have no idea what you did, Monica.
I got
you,
Monica.
Happy Hour is presented by Bullet Bourbon. Enjoy responsibly.